Welcome to another episode of Million Dollar Stories, where we get to interview authors from all over the world. I bet most of you, whether it's you watching live or on podcasts, have heard of a book called Profit First. Well, this one is a little bit more niche. This one's for e-com, and it is an individual who is Profit First certified. So yes, this is perfect for you guys out there who have an e-com business. I love anything online. If it's a digital asset, I want to be a part of it or invest in it because I see them as the most valuable assets out there. They're so versatile. So the author here, Cindy Thomason, I'm going to read off a couple things from her bio. It's extensive, so I'm just going to read off a few sentences here. Cindy Thomason, author of Profit First for E-commerce Sellers, is a certified master Profit First professional and the founder and president of BooksKeep, a virtual company that provides bookkeeping and profit-first consulting services to e-commerce clients all over the world. Cindy devotes much of her time speaking at various events such as ASD Market Week, ProfitCon, Marketplace Brand Accelerator Training, the E-commerce Business School, and other webinars, teaching e-commerce businesses how to implement the profit-first method. So without further ado, the author of Profit First for E-commerce Sellers, Cindy Thomason. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Mike. I'm excited to be here.
Well, let's start off with the genesis of how you got involved. Did Mike Michalowicz put out the book, It Changed Your Life, or was there a backstory you kind of knew of what he was doing beforehand?
Well, actually, I had started a bookkeeping business. I loved the whole idea of being remote. I had a daughter at home that I was homeschooling. And QuickBooks came out with this conference where they were, they invited us all to come out and just drink the Kool-Aid on QuickBooks Online. It was when it was just really still very rudimentary and hard to work with. But I went and I was in this, in one session after lunch. And I remember that feeling of, you know, nodding off, you're just going to fall asleep because it's so dry and boring. But next door, people were laughing and they were so excited. And I'm like, I'm in the wrong room. And so I got up really so I didn't embarrass myself by falling, you know, face first in front. And I went next door and it was Mike Michalowicz. And Mike was introducing Profit First to the accounting community. And it had just come out. And I heard about the last 15 minutes of it. And at the end, he gave us all a book. And I took the book from him and got on a plane the next morning and I read it. And I'm like, I need this. All of my clients need this because I'd already started worrying. How long am I going to even have these clients because they're not making money? And so I went back and introduced it to my clients. And then I called Mike's office and said, all right, how do I join? How do I do this? And I'm a Profit First professional number 9. So I joined right away when it was getting started. And I've been a member now about 10 years. So it's been a great ride.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah. So Profit First, I remember listening to his book. I was going to actually pick up a motorcycle. Okay. So I'm on the drive. It's a great drive to pick one up. And I remember hearing him say, I'm going to tell you everything great in the intro or the first three chapters, because I know you're not going to get past the first three chapters. And I'm like, he knows us, right? It is amazing. I say that to people all the time because when we publish books for individuals, I'm like, hey, make sure the first three chapters are solid. Yeah. Get them to
first
know you can trust
right?
Front load it because most people will make a decision based off of that first three chapter experience and he nails it. So I did start to implement it. I think I could be way better at it because whenever I went to the bank and created 4 different banking checking accounts, I really struggle with creating that the tithing account, right? My charity. It takes the fun away because it's just like you systematize it. But if it doesn't get systematized, it doesn't get done. And so it has to happen first. And he's the one that helped me put that in motion. So your book though is specifically for e-com. Now, why did you focus specifically on that industry?
Well, when I joined Profit First Professionals, Mike became my coach. And one of the things he said very early on was you need a niche specialization. And I got that. My husband worked in manufacturing at the time. I understood systems and how if you really understood how one industry worked, you could create systems and serve them more fully. And at the time, I had a web designer and a social media company and a bicycle shop and a restaurant. You know, I had people all over, but I had a couple of e-commerce clients And I loved working with them because they were doing what I wanted to do. They were working remotely. They didn't have to unlock the door at the beginning of the day. You know, we didn't have to worry about, you know, whether we had to shovel ice off the snow, you know, snow off the walk. And so I just connected with them because they were early adopters. They were digital type people. They liked flexibility. And that was what I was trying to create. So that's why when Mike and I were talking about what area to focus on, these were my people. And I knew immediately that that's what I wanted. That was my group.
Earlier today, I met with somebody who wrote about being a digital nomad. And that's what you call these people, right? They're all over the place. They get to have this lifestyle and business combined. It's great. So you do talk about the four aspects of, I guess, maybe the problems that you see out there, managing inventory, you know, debt. Can you just kind of highlight the four pillars, I guess, you go over in this book?
Yeah. The reason I actually wrote the book was because Mike had self-published Profit First originally, and then it got picked up by Penguin House. And he was asking us what he should add when he rewrote it. And I kept saying, you really got to cover inventory. My clients are really struggling with inventory. That's where we spend all of our time. And he didn't do that. He said, Penguin House said it was just too specific. So he said, why don't you write that book? And I'm like, all right, you're not going to do it. I'll do it myself. So it really is the challenge that I think most of my clients have is, first of all, they come in a lot of times underfunded for their inventory purchases that they have to buy. And they don't plan ahead for that cycle of they're not sold through. So the cash isn't in their account yet to buy the next round of inventory. And you really do have to have a few rounds of inventory. You have to have those dollars there to invest in that inventory, because one of the biggest dangers in e-com is selling out of something and not having stock, because then all that you've done to build up that ranking, to build up your presence, to get the buy box on Amazon, all of that goes away as soon as you're out of stock. So having a good strategy for funding inventory from the beginning and then keeping that inventory flowing, and you're setting aside dollars to help grow your sales and to launch new products, that's just the lifeblood of e-commerce clients.
It just exploded, I think, in 2020 with the e-com business, everybody having an Amazon store. Do you remember that rush, that gold rush?
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of my clients get into it. And whenever there was the, they call it the Google slap, whenever I guess people got knocked off of Google, but it was the Amazon slap or even the Walmart slap, where people just got shut down. And I mean, number one, there was a growing demand, but you know, if something happens, like you run out of inventory, it's all downhill from there. So it's probably really, really difficult unless you have the right systems and processes, the right CRM, all of that. I'm assuming you help set that up.
Well, we help set up the financial piece of it. There are people that are really do specialize in how to list products, how to advertise products, how to do fulfillment. They're specialists in all those areas. Our specialization is the accounting systems and cash flow management. And that's the piece that we focus on. But, you know, in 2020, in the early days, we didn't know what COVID was going to do. We were getting people suspended to be where they couldn't sell on Amazon anymore because their product wasn't essential, you know, it wasn't toilet paper. So if you had, you know, clothing or whatever, if it wasn't essential, you got the letter that your account was, they weren't taking any more inventory. And it was a really interesting time because I was getting letters from my clients. Of course, we were reaching out to them and saying, what can we do to help? Do you need some cash flow planning? Whatever we can do to support you. But we were getting emails from them saying, oh my God, I've got to suspend your service because I don't know what's happening now. And those people weren't using Profit First. But the people that were using Profit First, they were like, no, we got this. It's going to, this will just be a few weeks. It'll pass. you know, we know that it'll level out. And because of Profit First, we've got dollars in our profit account. We've got dollars in our inventory account. And in fact, we're ramping up because we see an increase in demand. And it was just such a stark difference between those people who had implemented this tool that we made available to everybody. But these people had, you know, really embraced it and put the time into making it work. And they had the funds to actually weather the storm and then, you know, make hay because of it. You know, my grandfather, great-grandfather was a farmer, and he would always say, make hay while the sun shines. I can still hear him say it. And these guys, that's what they were doing. They were making hay because they knew they had the funds to make it happen.
It always makes me think of the movie Forrest Gump. I'm assuming you've watched that too, right? Where the storm happens and all the ships can't, you know, go out there and catch the shrimp. However, one ship remains. And so the storms knock a lot of people out, and those who prepare accordingly reap the rewards. So yes, if you apply the Profit First techniques, you can actually weather the storms and put yourself in a very great position afterwards. Yeah. One thing that I think I'm getting better and better at as time goes on, and obviously if you have more data, more success and trends, but understanding financial data, right? I used to always just look at, did I make money this month? Did I not? Now I'm able to kind of see my profit margins. I'm able to see where our perfect client is. Where do we spend our energy? This is something I'm assuming some companies struggle with for the first 5 years. And we're in year, I guess, 8 now, and it's just starting to like really pick up steam because I think I'm focusing on the metrics. Is this tough to get across? Have you noticed any type of trend where it's year 1 through 5? Not many people are paying attention to this. They're just paying attention to the bills. What have you seen?
Yeah, I think early on, there's just so much to do and you're just so overwhelmed with everything, right? And the tendency in the e-commerce world is to focus on top line revenue. And honestly, for a long time, that was okay because the money just came to folks. And but those days are past. I know at the time I wrote the book, Amazon fees were running about 14%. Now, in 2023, they were running about 45%, and they just went up in 2024. So they're going up incrementally throughout the year. So they're going to be well over 45%. So the days of easy margin are not there anymore. You have to really work hard at every aspect of your business. It's not just a throw something out there and it's going to stick to the wall. You have to be a business owner. And those folks that are just starting out, they can't afford to start out without paying attention to the metrics. So there was a time I used to say, yeah, do your own books. You know, you can, when you get to this level, then you need help. And now I say, no, you need somebody from the beginning because the margins are so slim that you're going to need to concentrate on running your business and having good numbers from the very beginning. And so we teach them how to do that as one of our services so that they can actually have good data starting out and not wait a couple of years till they figured everything out and then get serious about numbers.
Wow, that's a good point. Doing it right from the beginning. It sounds counterintuitive, like, well, let me figure out my processes first. No, if you hire someone, I guess, like yourself or anybody in that field, they're going to set it up so it does get stronger and more refined as time goes on, but it doesn't take any more energy. If you do it right from the beginning, you're not going to have that time period where you're sitting down for a month and trying to analyze your numbers and then correcting all your mistakes and probably pulling your hair out in the process.
Yeah. And things move too fast. And in e-com, things are moving, you know, it did used to be that you would put a product out there and you had that edge on that for 2 to 3 years. Now it's 6 months and you've got competitors. So you don't have years to get your stuff sorted out. You need to come on with good information so that you can focus on the thing that you do really well and leverage other people's skill sets.
And so in your process that you teach or actually do for them, is it all about setting up the right payment processor into a CRM payment processor and a QuickBooks Online or a similar process simply to automate the accounting? Therefore, you have a bookkeeper like yourself kind of looking at it from behind the scenes, and therefore the leader of the company is kind of growing it and focusing on growth and maintaining relationships while you're looking at the back end numbers. Is that
right? And making sure the tech stack works together, that it's accurate. I mean, a lot of people will use these, they call them financial dashboards that will report on sales from Amazon, et cetera, but they're not actually accounting systems and they don't actually report out and give you data that is reliable. An example of this is in 2020, we had all of these people ordering things on Amazon, but they couldn't get them fulfilled because Amazon was behind shipping out all of the essentials. So the product was at the warehouse, they could order it, but the delivery time was really strung out. Well, this was showing up as sales in my client's dashboard, but that's not really a sale. A sale from an accounting perspective is when the product ships. And so they were counting these dollars as if they were getting this money. And after about 3 weeks, Amazon said, we're scrapping all of that because, you know, we couldn't ship it in time. And thousands of dollars went off of these seller dashboards. And so, you know, an accounting system is really should be a system where you have truth. And you can look at it and have confidence in your data. And some of these other systems out there are really great for telling you product profitability and things like that. But at the end of the day, they don't reconcile back to a financial statement. And there are these rules that have been set up over, you know, really thousands of years, because bookkeeping's been around a long time, that really help you know exactly where you stand. And that's a piece of it that we do. So we make sure you've got good data to base decisions on.
Yeah. And one thing I'm focusing on this year is to have a snapshot week to week, right? So like we're able to catch up, but might be fewer, three, four, maybe even 6 weeks later on accounts receivables, accounts payables. So I can have an accurate snapshot. And I guess doing it the right way from the beginning, you're able to see everything very quickly. And that's tough, right? For the average person out there, it's really tough to understand their systems and processes and making sure they stick to them even whenever there's chaos. For example, 2020, when all hell breaks loose, how do you handle all that and still not break these processes that are supposed to be evergreen?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, things like your AR, for the most part, for e-commerce businesses, the platforms take care of that. I mean, they're going to send you the money as they get it, et cetera. They help you out with things like payment plans and stuff like that. But in a brick and mortar type store where you may run up a tab for your clients, collections gets to be an issue. And the longer you go not staying on top of that, the less likely you are for people to actually pay those bills. So timeliness is just huge in your ability to make collections for a traditional entrepreneur.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you're not looking at accounts receivables, or maybe that you have those automated payments, but imagine you have 1,000 payments coming through and there's a payment plan and one of them gets rejected and you're not looking at it at all times. You don't have any notifications. It could slip right through the cracks so easily.
Yeah, for sure.
So the last piece of it, I'm sure it goes into great detail, but you talk about maintaining focus. I believe that e-com people do have the shiny object syndrome more than anybody else, right? Because they realize, oh my God, I can build many businesses at once. What do you mean by maintaining focus in your world?
Well, it really is paying attention to the fundamentals. I mean, and it, as I said before, it's more critical now because when you've got your gross margins just squeezed to every degree from the platforms, from the advertising companies, et cetera, you've got to maintain focus on the stuff that feels like minutia and that feels like, you know, it's not the sexy top line number. It's the bottom line number. But you want, at the end of the day, you want to keep the dollars in your pocket. And that means you have to stay focused on, you know, understanding and developing systems for inventory management, for example, knowing when to order, knowing how to forecast, knowing what products to cut because they're not even selling anymore. People carry their products way too long because, well, that's the one I developed when my, you know, dad helped me, whatever. It, all these emotional things really start to cost you, and you have to focus on the profitability. And by focusing on systems, by making the tough decisions about what the numbers are telling you, and not going after the quick fix. I see it all the time. We work with our CFO services in really diving deep and help people understand their business and do projections and look forward and try to grow their businesses. And they don't want to do the hard work. They just like, well, you just fix that. You just tell me. And in the end, what they're saying is, I abdicate my responsibility as a business owner to someone else. And you really can't do that. I mean, our businesses are our heart and soul. I mean, they're part of our identity. And so to abdicate something as important as your financial health of your business to someone else, it's just a huge mistake. And so you just have to stay focused on the little details to make it all work.
Do you specifically recommend QuickBooks Online, or do you have other programs? It probably is dependent on their setup, but is there something you lean towards, whether it's a CRM, a payment processor, or an accounting software that you recommend?
Well, we like QuickBooks Online. We think it will grow with people, along with Xero. Both of those are great accounting platforms. We like A2X to connect Amazon, Shopify, all of those platforms, actually, to collect the data, connect the data from both the sales as well as all the fees, et cetera, that they collect, and your inventory, cost of goods. A2X does the heavy lifting on that, and we vetted them. We know they're accurate, and we know the data that they push into the books are going to be correct. Those are the things that are the tools of our trade that we really love.
Nice. A2X, I've not heard of it.
Yeah, A2X accounting.
Your website is bookskeep.com, I believe. So
that's right.
If there are people out there listening to you, and I guarantee there are, hey, I could do it myself, but it's so much smarter. If you're an entrepreneur, have somebody do your books and to kind of right the ship when you go awry, because it's going to happen. So if they go to your website, what's on there? How do you help people? What's the process look like?
Well, first of all, our services are on there. And the service that I talked about, it's kind of a done with you type service where we get you set up so that you're set up right from the beginning. And you might not be able to afford us, but at least you're starting off on the right foot and you can keep up with it yourself. Or we do accounting for people directly. And we also do the Smart CFO services, where not only do we look back, but we help you look forward, help you understand and make goals going forward, and then do the forecasting so that you understand the impact of the decisions that you're making and how it translates to the bottom line.
And you're sticking to the core values of Profit First. So everything that's talked about in Profit First, you're abiding by, right? Where you're setting up multiple accounts, or you're recommending they do the same thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And I do a little differently than Mike. Mike is, you know, set all of them up from the very beginning. I think that's kind of a shock to the system. A lot of people can't do that. Their cash is they're too constrained. So I recommend starting slow with a profit account, an inventory account, and an operating expense account, which you probably already got. Build up some muscle around those things, because when you take inventory out of your the cash bank account that you use every day, it takes a lot of the volatility out of your bank account. You know, Profit First is set up with this idea of Parkinson's law, which is you use what you got. So if those dollars, as you sell things, are starting to accumulate in your primary bank account, and you look at it and go, wow, look at all this money. Then you start to think of, what can I do with that money? Because we're good at that as entrepreneurs. You know, well, I can upgrade this system, or maybe I'll take this course or whatever. But if you take the inventory out of that bank account, then you're going to see that you're operating at a pretty even level. The inventory is where things go up and down with a lot of volatility, because you're selling things and your bank account builds up. But then when you have to order, then that bank account comes down in a hurry. And so just making that change will help people understand the cash flow in their businesses.
I'm assuming that when you work with people, there's a moment of clarity, right? They finally have the pressure released from them where, you know, they actually know where they're going, they know where they're at. And I would assume that's probably why you love this, right? Because the more clarity, the better the decision making, which means you can grow the company, employ more people, serve more individuals. Is that really what is the most attractive part of what you do?
For me personally, the most attractive part is seeing them grow as people. I think as somebody that's been on this entrepreneurial journey now for about 12 years, it is just the best experience in the world for discovering who you are and what you're made out of, you know, and to see people that are really struggling with something like the financial side of their business to start to understand it and to realize they can do it and that they can actually use it as a tool to be able to grow their business and to improve the life for their family. Because up until that point, a lot of them are really struggling. They had this vision for, you know, I'm going to work for myself and have all this flexibility and make all of these things happen. But then the reality set in and they got stuck. And to be able to see them get past being stuck and to realize, well, if I can do this, then I can do whatever, you know, because this was a real barrier for them. So seeing them get over that barrier of financial understanding and success is really what I love.
Yeah. I'm telling you, whenever I became more clear-minded about our financials, it was, I slept better. Right. And so your life is based off of your quality of your thoughts, relationships, and I think sleep right there, those three aspects. And when you have your money in order, your life is in order. It's the way I look at it. So guys, what's that?
And you sleep better.
You sleep. Yeah. Right. You can't put a price tag on that. Sleep is everything. Guys, the book is called Profit First for E-commerce Sellers. Transform your e-commerce business from a cash-eating monster to a money-making machine. I love that. Did you come up with that subtitle, by the way?
No, that's a Michalowicz subtitle.
That is so good. Really, really well
done.
Sounds
like him, doesn't it? Can you hear him say it?
Yeah, I can. And the Parkinson's Law. Now that you said that, I believe I first heard it from him. And so I use that a lot.
Yeah, everywhere.
Oh, that's great. So guys, the website, bookskeep.com, get in touch with Cindy. I don't know if they meet with you directly, but I think that you're a wealth of knowledge. So just getting into your circle would be great. So anyways, outside of this book or Mike's book, is there one other book maybe that stands out in your life as a game changer that you recommend?
Well, can I have two? Yeah, of course. Well, my second book I wrote, it's more about the entrepreneurial journey that I had and that I think is an opportunity for other women. And too often, I think women are faced with the choice of having children and being a stay-at-home mom and giving up some aspect of their professional identity or putting children in childcare and feeling really separated from the motherhood experience that they wanted, but keeping that professional identity. And what I discovered just by happenstance and because one was making me crazy was, you know, trying to be a stay-at-home mom just wasn't fulfilling to me. And I found that that happens for a lot of folks. And the entrepreneurial journey is really a great journey for moms because you can create a business with all the flexibility you need and all the opportunity for professional growth. And so that's what my second book is about. The other book that really has had a huge impact on me is a book called Buoyant by Susie DeVille. And it's all about staying in touch with your creativity and your innovation and how that is really at the essence of who we are as individuals. And that we put up a lot of layers over time. And it's all about peeling back those layers and getting in a deeper contact with what is really important to us as individuals.
I like it. Buoyant by Cindy DeVille, you said,
Susie.
Right? Or Susie. Got it. Never heard of that. It's great.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Cindy, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time. And there's a few people I think that I know directly would probably really need your services. So
I'd love to hear from them. Thank you for giving us the chance to talk about it.
Yeah. So let's stay in touch. But guys, check her out on Amazon. Easy to find. Just type in Profit First. You're the first one that actually comes up. So you're not going to miss it. And Cindy Thomason, Thank you so much. Look her up online. Remember, guys, $1 million book will lead to a $1 million life. Right on.